Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So, I've shared this story before, but back when I was a senior in high school, I worked at the movie theater in Rockport, Cinema 4, and early on in my time there, one of the duties that I had was to take apart the films that were no longer going to be watched after they finished playing on Thursday night. I had to take them apart, put them back on their original reels to send back to the movie companies. And you know, when you think about the length of a movie, it took multiple reels of film to put together one single movie. And so we would have large platters in the attic. Think about the size of the round tables in the fellowship hall. We would have these round tables in the attic that the film would lay flat on, and that platter would spin, and the film would play. Now, if you were to go into the attic of a movie theater today, it would be a much different situation because everything is digital now. Right? But back then, we had these large platters with the film on them, and so this particular Thursday evening was my first time to be flying solo, taking apart this film. And I missed an important step. Really, it was just, I forgot to push a button, but forgetting to push that button was a very important step that I missed. Because when I turned this platter on to begin winding this film back onto its original wheels, it went at high speed. And that film flew all over the attic. It wrapped around poles. It wrapped around me. It was everywhere. And this was just a matter of seconds before I was able to turn it off. And so I began to work to try and clean up this mess that I had found myself in, that I had created for myself. And we had a speakerphone in the attic, and so after I had been up there for some time, I'm sure my manager realized this is taking him longer than it should, and so he came over the speakerphone and said, "Hey, is everything okay up there? Do you need any help?" And I said, "Yeah, everything's fine. I don't need any help." But the reality was, right, I was in a mess. I could not help myself out of this situation. Thankfully, after more time passed and I still had not gone down, my manager came up and he said, "Let me just take care of this for you." And he helped me out. So we're in this series right now titled "The Struggle is Real." And I've connected this series to our vision of Next for this year, where we're asking this question: where am I in my walk with the Lord, and what is my next step? Because as we think about where we are right now, we might be right in the midst of a struggle. And so my desire throughout this series has been to provide biblical answers for some of these real-life struggles. And over the last several weeks, we've talked about several struggles like loneliness, fear, burnout. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about pride. Last week, we talked about the struggle of anger. This morning, we're going to talk about another very real struggle. And this struggle, it may be one that's a little harder for us to talk about and even harder for us to admit at times. And that is the struggle of addiction. And this is what I know about the struggle of addiction. Much like me in that attic, in a mess that I could not help myself out of, many times that's what addiction is for us. We are entangled. We are in a mess. We cannot help ourselves, and yet we try and hide it. And we say, "Everything's okay. I don't need any help." And we try to continue to deal with it by ourselves, but the mess just gets bigger and bigger, and we become entangled even more. And so if you would say that addiction is the struggle where you find yourself, then I would say this message is for you. And this is an important message because even if you would say, you know what, I don't struggle with addiction right now, there could be a time where you fall into addiction. And so let's turn to God's Word and see what God's Word has to say about this struggle. We're going to turn to Psalm chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to jump over and look at verses 16 through 19. Psalm 18, 1 through 6, and 16 through 19. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this passage up for you. In the description of this psalm, just before we get to verse 1, we see that this is a psalm of David. David spoke these words, or David sang this song to the Lord who rescued him from the grasp of all his enemies. So what does this psalm have to do with addiction? Well, while this psalm is most assuredly talking about David's physical enemies, this is the reality. Not only do we struggle with at times, not only do we deal with real and physical enemies in this life, there are many times that we deal with internal enemies. There is an internal battle going on. Enemies that may not be quite as evident to others around us, but there is that internal battle, that internal struggle. And if you've ever struggled with an addiction, then you have probably experienced and you recognize that internal battle. And so while we're most certainly going to hear David talk about his physical enemies who are coming against him, I believe that the truth that we find in this passage, especially the truth about the nature of God, is absolutely still true and still necessary for us to hear when it comes to dealing with addictions in our life today. Let me also say this about Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is the fourth longest psalm. That's why we're not reading the entire psalm today. I just picked some verses to read with you. So it's the fourth longest psalm. And what we see in this psalm is that as David cries out to God for help with his enemies, he also spends a great deal of this psalm rejoicing in the Lord's ability to overcome his enemies. He rejoices in what the Lord has done. Now, this is what this should tell us. That while, yes, that struggle may feel long at times, if you are in an addiction, you may feel like, man, I have been in this for a long time. But what this should tell us is that struggle that we're in, that battle that we're in, that does not have to be the end of the story for us. We don't have to remain in that struggle. We don't have to continue in that battle defeated. Rather, what this should tell us is that in the Lord, we can experience victory and our rejoicing can be even longer than the struggle. We can end up rejoicing longer in what the Lord has done for us, rejoicing longer in what the Lord has overcome than even the length of that struggle. And so we're going to look at David's crying out to God and also his rejoicing as we look at Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 16 through 19. So let me read this now. It says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock, where I seek refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. The ropes of death were wrapped around me, and the torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. I called to the Lord in my distress, and I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Jump over to verse 16. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He pulled me out of deep water. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Now, as we look at this passage, I want you to hear the desperation in David's voice in verses 4 and 5. He said, "The ropes of death were wrapped around me. The torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me." So a few weeks back when we were on our vacation in Tennessee, we went to a mountain adventure park. It was located about 600 feet above Gatlinburg, Tennessee. The park is known as Anakista. And one of the main ways to get to the top of this mountain to go to this park was riding a ski lift up. Now, if you don't know this already about me, I am terrified of heights. But this was the way everybody, it seemed everybody was getting up this way, right? This was the line. And so I was like, well, I guess this is what we have to do. And so we got on that ski lift, and this was the thing about the ski lift, if you've ever been on one, right? There's no seat belts on it. There's no real security on this. There was this metal bar that came down, but it didn't even touch me, right? It did not secure me in any way, shape, or form. I thought I was about to die the entire way up. And so there was this handle on the bar that you pulled down, and I was gripping that handle the entire time. Everyone else, as I'm watching, as we're traveling, everyone else seemed to be fine on this ride. There was one girl coming down the other way. She had her feet up. I said, what in the world? I was gripping on for dear life. Ethan was sitting next to me, and every time he moved, electricity would shoot through my body. And I would say, don't move, don't move. We're going to die. Now, clearly, we did not die. We made it to the top, and when we got to the top, we realized that there was a bus you could take, and so that's what we took down. But riding that ski lift to the top, I don't know if I have ever related to Scripture as much as I did when I was riding that ski lift. I think I could have written these words myself. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. You know, as David knew that his enemies were coming against him, we know that he wasn't wrapped in literal ropes, but he felt it. He felt paralyzed in fear of his enemies. He felt like he couldn't move. You know, when we deal with internal enemies at times, enemies like addiction, as we struggle with these things, sometimes we feel that same way. We feel like we can't move. We feel like we are entangled in ropes, tied up and paralyzed by this addiction. So what do we do? Where do we go if we're trapped dealing with these internal enemies? What do we do if we are entangled in our addictions? Well, we see what we're to do in our passage at the start of verse 6. After recognizing that he's entangled, David says, "I called out to the Lord in my distress, and I cried to God for help." So what are we to do? We are to call out to the Lord. Understand, while addictions are very physical, we also live in the midst of a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 makes this very clear, that our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the spiritual forces in this dark world. And so as we recognize that we must face these battles, and we also recognize that we fight these battles both physically but also spiritually speaking. And so what do? We call out to the Lord. And as we think about calling out to the Lord, there's some things that I want you to see and understand from our passage this morning. First, I want you to understand that the Lord has the strength that we need. We call out to the Lord because the Lord has the strength we need. Let's look at verse 1 again. David begins this psalm by saying, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord has the strength we need. I want you to hear me. I am not strong enough to deal with an addiction on my own. You are not strong enough to deal with an addiction on your own, but the Lord is strong enough. In fact, David goes on to say that God is his rock, his strength, his deliverer, his refuge, the horn of his salvation, and his stronghold. You know, a few weeks back, we talked about the horn in our passage. That time was talking about the horn of a bull or an animal. This time, as we see the horn of salvation, this is talking about a horn like a trumpet, a horn that they would blow in victory. Because when they won the battle, they would go through the town blowing the horn, signaling to all who heard that horn that they had won the victory. Much like when our volleyball girls won state, what did we do? We lined the streets, lined Main Street, and they came blaring the sirens. The band was playing. They announced their victory as they came back through town. So David, recognizing that apart from the Lord, he's going to experience defeat, he also recognizes that with the Lord, he will experience victory. And so instead of trying to face his enemies on his own, what he does is he calls out to the Lord because he recognizes that the Lord's strength is better. So I would just ask you this morning, do you recognize that the Lord's strength is better? You know, just like I did when I was in that attic entangled, I think the temptation for us is to depend on our own strength. To say, I don't need help. But you know, what I realized when I was in that attic entangled, I realized I couldn't do this on my own. But my manager, he was able to come and fix it for me. And not only that, afterwards, he bought me Whataburger. Right? The Lord's strength is better. You know, we want to do it in our own strength. But if we will admit that we can't do it on our own, what happens is we get to experience the Lord's strength. Scripture tells us when we are weak, then we are strong. Not because we're strong in ourselves, but when we submit to the Lord in our weakness, in our humility, we get to experience the strength of the Lord. We get to experience something far better. So do you recognize that the Lord's strength is better? And let me encourage you. Don't try to keep doing it the same way. Don't try to continue to do it in your own strength. In your own strength, defeat is always inevitable. But if you will cry out to the Lord, you will get to experience the horn of salvation. You will get to experience victory in the Lord. So we call out to the Lord because the Lord has the strength we need. Second, I want you to understand that the Lord provides the rescue we desire. Let's look at verses 16 and 17 again. It says, He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He pulled me out of deep water. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. So the Lord provides the rescue we desire. So just like we take youth and children to Alto Frio every year, which by the way, I announced this before the service, we have 53 kids signed up for kids camp. That's third through fifth graders. We have 49 youth signed up. That's sixth through 12th graders. And so we have just a massive amount of youth and children going to Alto Frio this year. Be in prayer for them when we get into July. But just like we take kids there now, when I was a kid here in this church, we were taking youth to Alto Frio back then. Now, I was technically too young to attend, but because my dad was the pastor, I got to go. And so we went to Alto Frio, and one of the days that we were there, I was probably 5 years old. We went down to the river. We were swimming in a shallow area, and I had begun swimming and went down under the water, and I didn't really realize this, but I got caught up in the undertow, and it was just taking me down the river. And my dad, he saw what was happening, and so he reached in, and he just pulled me out of the water. And very thankful, right? That could have taken me down to deeper waters where I could have been in over my head and drowned. But my dad pulled me out. So when David says that God pulled him out of deep water, David, he wasn't really in deep water. Again, he's saying this, recognizing that facing his enemies, it was like he was in over his head, like he was drowning, like he had no hope. And this is exactly how it can feel when we are trapped in an addiction. When there's something that we are continuing to struggle with, we can feel like we are in too deep. We can feel like we are in over our head, like we are drowning, like there is no hope. But when we cry out to the Lord reaches down and he pulls us out. Now listen, sometimes God pulls us out in a spiritual way. I have seen people who have cried out to the Lord. God has done a miraculous work in their heart, spiritually speaking, and they're just able to be free of that addiction. But more often than not, this is what I see, that God pulls us out with physical help. Sometimes the help God provides involves something physical. I'm reminded of the story of the man that was stranded on the roof of his house in the midst of a great flood. And as he was stranded on this roof, he cried out to God, "God, would you save me?" And soon a man in a rowboat came by and said, "Get on board. I'll take you to safety." And the man on the roof said, "No, it's okay. God's going to save me." And so the boat left. He continued to cry out to God, "God, save me." And soon a motorboat came by and said, "Get on board. I'll take you to safety." He said, "That's okay. God's going to save me." And he continued to cry out to God, "God, save me." Soon a helicopter came, said, "Here, get on board. We'll fly you to safety." He said, "No, God's going to save me." And soon those waters rose and he drowned. And when he got to heaven, he said, "God, why didn't you save me?" And he said, "I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more did you want?" Right? Sometimes the help that God provides involves something physical. And this is true with addictions as well. As we cry out to the Lord, sometimes God provides a physical resource, whether it's a Christian counselor, whether it is a Christian rehab center. There are many places that we can connect with to get the help we need. And if you come to me and say, "This is an area that I'm struggling in," I will do what I can to get you connected to the right place and the right people to get you the help that you need. But let me encourage you, don't reject physical help simply because you're crying out to the Lord. Don't think God's going to change this for me and then reject all of the physical help that God offers to help us. Accept that help, because sometimes the help that God provides involves something physical. So we call out to the Lord because the Lord has the strength we need and the Lord provides the rescue we desire. Finally, this morning, the Lord changes the circumstances that we're in. So look at verse 19 again. It says, "He brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." So the Lord changes the circumstances that we're in. Recognize that initially David is saying that he's entangled. He is trapped. He is drowning. But then the Lord puts him in a spacious place. In other words, the Lord puts him in a place of freedom. So, the summer after fourth grade, I signed up for a college summer school course based out of Texas A&M Corpus Christi. This was a science course where we were going to be going to the beach and doing a lot of research at the beach. I thought, man, this sounds like a lot of fun. This is what I did not realize at the time, what I realized whenever I began the course, that summer school for a fourth grader, even if it's at the beach, feels like prison. And so there was one particular day that I remember going to class, and we went to the beach. We were doing some research at the beach. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to play at the beach. I did not want to do research at the beach. But my parents, they came to that same beach that day, and they checked me out early so that I could spend the rest of the day with them having fun at the beach. And I remember running down the beach to my dad, tears in my eyes, and just hugging him because I was finally free, right? The Lord is the one that can provide freedom for us. He doesn't leave us in prison. Now, again, that may require some physical help from outside sources that the Lord puts into our life. But if we will cry out to the Lord, He won't leave us in the same place. Just like when we recognize the sin that's in our life that we need to be forgiven of, the Lord doesn't leave us in that same place. He redeems us. He transforms us. He sets us free. He provides salvation for us. And so as we recognize that the Lord is the one that provides the freedom that we need, let me encourage you, run to the Lord and experience the freedom found in Him. Just like that little boy running to his father on the beach, run to the Lord and experience the freedom found in Him. Now, I've talked a lot about addiction this morning, but this is what I want you to realize. Something that we all struggle with, addiction or not, is sin. And you may be here today, and you may realize, you know what? I've never called out to the Lord for salvation. You know, before we can deal with addiction, anger, loneliness, fear, before we deal with all of those other things, the most important thing that we deal with is the sin that's in our life, that we turn to the Lord and we allow for Him to save us. This is why Jesus came into this world. Certainly, we can overcome all of these other things in His strength. The Lord can overcome these for us. But the reason why He came into this world is to overcome our sin, to save us, and to make us new. And so today, if you're here and you would say, I need to call out to the Lord for salvation, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this will be your opportunity to respond. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? There's an addiction in my life. You may not want to come forward in front of everybody and tell me that. You can deal with the Lord right where you're at. But if there is something that you're struggling with that you want to talk with me about, seek guidance on, feel free to call me. Send me a text. I'd love to talk with you and meet with you and get you connected to some resources. But maybe you're here and you would say, I'm ready to commit my life to the Lord, to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond this morning. Love to talk with you, pray with you. Today can be the day of your salvation. And maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism, to publicly confess Jesus as Lord through baptism, something that God calls every single born-again believer to do. And so if you've never taken that step, but you're ready to make that commitment today, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already been baptized by immersion. I know God wants me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Today, you can become a member of this church body. But whatever it is that God is calling you to do in this place this morning, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.